Welcome to some more great Bible preaching from the pulpit of Capital City Baptist Church in the heart of Austin, Texas. Our prayer is that your relationship with Christ is strengthened and that you are blessed by the time you spend in the Word of God with us today.
Proverbs chapter 2, we'll start reading in verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. I want to preach tonight on the subject of the pursuit of wisdom, proper steps in the pursuit of wisdom. The Bible says in verse 4, if thou seekest for her as silver. We were 9 years in Pachuca, Mexico. Pachuca is famous in Mexico for being a mining town. For over 300 years, they've mined silver in those mountains, and they say there are more miles of mines than there are miles of highway between Pachuca, Mexico, and Laredo. And years ago, I took a group, and they put us in one of those old carts, and we dropped down 600 meters into the mountain. And they took us through some of those mine shafts and told us about the years and years that they'd pulled silver out of that mountain, the people that had died. And because the mining process included mercury and all that they were inhaling into their lungs, their lifespan was very short. But it's amazing what man will do in his search for silver. Think about the pursuit that lasted over 300 years, digging 600 meters straight down and then spending your life in a dark hole, in a dungeon, in a cave. And here's what God's word said. Here's what Solomon said. If you search for wisdom, you should search for it as diligently as you search for silver. Now, once again, let me define and make clear what we're talking about when we're talking about wisdom. We're talking about being skilled in living. Everyone here ought to be in the pursuit of skillful living. Regrettably, none of us are born with that. We don't come out of the womb with wisdom. That's a process. There's a lot of steps involved. There's a lot of years. There's a lot of time. There's a lot of instruction. And as parents, we've gone through some of the steps, and now as leaders, as fathers, it is not just our Bible command, but it's our duty to make sure our children take those steps to become wise Christians, wise citizens, wise parents, wise leaders, wise people to avoid the pitfalls in the traps of life. Here's where wisdom is revealed. It's revealed in your relationships. It's revealed in your finances. It's revealed in your speech. It's revealed in your decision-making. Now, young people, it doesn't matter if you're 18 or 20 or 25, you ought to do something occasionally that would be considered wise. Now, that's probably not going to come from your heart or your mind. Just latch onto someone that's wise, take their advice, and look wise. Intelligence, going to school and gaining knowledge, it's all part of the process. But even the accumulation of knowledge is not wisdom. There are a lot of processes and steps that have to be taken. And step number one, we notice in Proverbs 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now keep your Bibles open because we're going to be reading a lot here in this great book. What's step number one to becoming wise? The fear of the Lord. And let me just say this, because people will attack, the Bible will attack this word, and they'll tell you that's really not talking about fear. Yes, it is. If you're a child of God and you're going to grow in wisdom, you better have a fear of the Lord. That's more than a love and a respect. That's something even greater than that. And as a child, I had a healthy fear of my parents that was wise. It didn't take me long to figure out there were things I should do. There are things I shouldn't do. Some came with a reward. Some came with a consequence. And I loved avoiding the consequences of life. That was growing in wisdom. And if we're going to grow in wisdom as Christians, we need to understand there is a healthy fear of God. And if you don't teach your child the knowledge of God, now how do you get to know God? Through His Word. Is it possible to know God without knowing His Word? This is why they need to wake up reading this book. And folks, in 2012, it's never been easier. There are so many ways, and you have a King James Bible translated in your language, dozens of them in your home. You can listen to them. You can read them. You can hear them preach. You have Bible story tapes and CDs. You have a million ways to fill yourself with the Word of God, which will give you a knowledge of God. And when they increase in their knowledge of God, they'll develop the fear of God. And that is the beginning. That's the first step. If they do not have a healthy fear of God, they will do so many things in their youth that is unwise and hurtful, that'll mess up the rest of their life. And they'll pay a heavy consequence because they weren't taught a proper knowledge of God. It doesn't matter if they're 2 years old or 3 years old or 4 years old. This is why you need to sit and read the Bible to them and pray with them and bring them to the house of God and make sure they're paying attention and watch as they walk the aisle and help them develop relationship with the Holy Spirit, because all of this creates in them a knowledge of God. And without that knowledge, there'll be no fear of God. And look at society. Go down here to a public school. Watch. It won't take you 25 minutes to see how society acts when there's no fear of God, in a lawless, wicked, unrighteous manner. When God says the beginning of wisdom is what? The fear of the Lord. Number two, look what it said in chapter 2, verse 3. Chapter 2, verse 3. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding. So number two, you need to be seeking knowledge. So number one, fear God. That sounds simple, but we are still trying to teach our children and young people. And that's why we have Sunday school. That's why we have clubs. That's why we have junior church. That's why we have a Christian school. That's why we put so many ministries out there for our kids, because we want to reinforce what you are teaching them in your home, because we know as fathers, as Christian fathers, you're teaching them the knowledge of God and the fear of God. And in this environment, we're trying to reinforce that in their hearts and minds. But number two, they need to add to that knowledge of the Lord a general knowledge. Look what it said in chapter 10, verse 14. Proverbs 10, 14. Wise men lay up what? Now, how do you get knowledge? You're going to have to listen. That's not very common. While we're right there, let's go to chapter 13, verse 1. A wise son does what? That means he's going to have to close his mouth and open his ears. Now, unwise or foolish people do the opposite. What do? They close their ears and open their mouth. A wise young person, we bring through many, many great men of God. And I try to give young people the opportunity to latch on to or spend time with, whether it's at a meal or an event or a trip or a just designated time where these young people can meet with these preachers. And whether it's a half an hour or 2 hours, I want them to get to know the men of God. Now, here's what a wise young person does. Ask questions, listen, pays attention. They're sponges when sitting with wise people. That's what a wise person does. Go back to Proverbs chapter 2. So if you're going to be wise, you need the knowledge of God to establish the fear of the Lord. Number two, you need to be seeking knowledge. You do that by listening. Look what it says in verse 2. So that thou do what? Incline thine ear. That's what a wife does when a door is shut and a husband's having a conversation with one of the children. She's inclining her ear. When you're curious, when you want to hear, when you're intent on listening, you know what you do? You incline your ear. You want to make sure there's no outside noise. You want to make sure you're hearing every detail. That's what we're supposed to do in order to gain wisdom, gain knowledge. Now, let me ask you this. How in the world can our youth become wise when they're not inclining their ear, their mouths do not stop or give them time to incline their ear? They couldn't hear because of all the excess noise and the noise they're making. Teach your children to be quiet. Teach your teenagers to be quiet and listen, especially when they're in the presence of wise people. Tell them that is the moment to say nothing. And if you say nothing, you look wiser anyway. The third step is to seek understanding. Now, knowledge in and of itself is good. But you know how many people are intelligent yet stupid? Have you ever met someone that has an incredible amount of head knowledge, but no understanding? I mean, they can tell you every species of moth on the planet, yet they haven't bathed in 3 months. You ever met someone with incredible level of intelligence and no people skills? Knowledge is not wisdom. You have to add to that understanding. Now let's read the second part of verse 2. Apply thine heart to what? Now, you can get knowledge through a book. You can get knowledge through reading the Bible. But understanding comes through instruction, reproof, and correction. So here's what we do as parents. Here's what we do in the school. Here's what we do as authority. First of all, we give those under our authority the knowledge. And then we give to them the practical application of that knowledge. Right? Have you ever taught your children to cook or to clean, to mow the yard, to fix a tool, or to work with their hands? You had to first of all give them the knowledge, and then, now, simply by telling them this is the cord you pull, gas you put in the tank, check the spark plug, set the height of the mower, now go mow the yard. Is that what you did? No, you gave them knowledge, then you personalized it through application. You got out there and you made sure they pushed it around. They kept their feet away from the blade. Now, you know knowledge alone is not going to keep them safe. They need understanding added to that knowledge. Now, here's why a wise person is important, Dan. We send our kids to school for 13 years so they can gain knowledge. After 13 years, we hand them a diploma. When they walk off that stage, if you've ever seen an 18-year-old walk off the stage, chest puffed out, I have accomplished my goal. I'm ready for life. Now, what is the problem? They have a little bit of knowledge, but without understanding. Are they wise at this point? They're missing experience. They're missing the personal application. Now, here's the best way to speed up that process. You include wise people in your life. Don't wait for someone to give you instruction. Seek instruction. And don't ever stop seeking instruction. Don't ever be too big. Don't ever be too proud. All of us need a sounding board. All of us need a second opinion. You know where our mistakes have been made in life? In pride, we thought that we knew the answer. We thought that we were making a good decision. In our self-exalted state of mind, we considered ourselves wise. And someone tried to give us feedback, but we weren't honest in receiving that feedback. And we have young people. Some young people don't seek feedback. Others do. And some seek it and never take it. Here's the way the majority of young people take feedback, counsel, or instruction. They hear your voice, just not what you're saying. All of us need to have someone in life that we can call up and say, hey, what do you think of this? Before I make this decision, before I go this direction, before I handle this problem, You better find someone you know is in tune with the Holy Spirit of God. We preached on simpletons, the simple one. You know how you move from being a simple one to being a prudent person, then to becoming a wise person? You don't argue your way into becoming a wise person. You know what young people like to do? You know what fools do until they die? They argue with everyone. I'm going to prove my point. No one knows better than I do. I just had my 17th birthday, by the way. Excuse me, I didn't realize that. I thought you were still 16. That's why I was having this conversation. You should love instruction. Look what it says in chapter 1, verse 3. To receive the instruction of wisdom, that should be your goal. Verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father. You ought to be seeking reproof. Look what it says in chapter 1, verse 23. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I'll pour out my spirit unto you. I'll make known my words unto you, because I've called, ye have refused. I've stretched out my hand, no man regarded. Ye have said it not, my counsel. Look what it says. Ye would none of my reproof. That's what a fool does. A fool hates all three. A fool hates instruction, correction, and reproof. And let me just say this to help you that are in leadership positions. You know the difference between instruction and reproof? And people always receive instruction better and more readily than they receive reproof. You know what the difference is between instruction and reproof? The timing. Give someone or tell someone how to do it before they get started, or wait until they're done, because if you give them instruction during the process, that's reproof. And none of us like that. How many like to get started in something and then someone comes by and says, what are you doing? That's idiotic. Why'd you do that? How many like correction? You know, Proverbs 2 and chapter 3 both talk about, despise not the chastening, the correction of the Lord. I never really loved the correction from my parents. Go to your room, son. Oh, yippee! Praise the Lord for that. I prefer the instruction. And then when I don't get the instruction, then I get the reproof. And then when I don't get the reproof, I know what's next. Correction. So you know what a wise person does? They never get to the third step. And listen, you know what a wise person does? The wiser you get, you don't wait till someone gives you instruction or gives you reproof or finally is forced into correcting you. You go seek the instruction. So before we ever get started in a project, before we ever start a new ministry, before we ever tackle a problem, why not seek the counsel and the wisdom and the instruction before we get started? That way, halfway through, I won't need the reproof. That's what we need to be teaching our children. Take the right steps. Step one, fear God. Step two, seek knowledge. Step three, add to that knowledge understanding. Step number four, guard your mind. You know where a fool falls off the edge of the cliff? Starts right here, in your mind. Young people, guard your mind. Look what it says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. That's talking about your mind. That's talking about your thinking. Be not wise. Verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. And listen, fathers, it is your duty to help your child guard their mind. This is why we're so cautious about things like modern technology and TV and radio and music and Facebook and all these other social media avenues that involve your kids. It can affect the way they think, and the way they think is going to affect the way they act. And if they're listening to fools, if they're watching fools, they're going to act in the same manner and speak in the same manner. So you need to say, I don't want them to be influenced by fools. I want them to guard their minds. And here's what you need to do. You've got to help them distinguish between truth and error. You better make sure as parents you're getting the right information, the right books, the right knowledge, and helping them distinguish between truth and error. You better help your child guard his mind from error. That's not just someone who's a blatant heathen. But that's someone who comes in the face of Christianity telling them, what? You're so antiquated that you have standards? Number four, select your companions wisely. Look what it says in verse 12. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh forward things. Look what it says in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. But the companion of fools, what's going to happen to that man? He shall be destroyed. Young people, did you get that? David, you're not going to find wise men in the high school. You're going to have to be careful. You're going to have to hand select those. Those usually are the aged. That doesn't mean everyone that's bald or has gray hair is a wise person. But that means they probably have a better chance than someone that has a full head of hair. Amen. They need to have a little bit of sprinkled gray, a little bit of shine. Then you can have a better idea that there's some wisdom coming out of that head. Now, you don't want to walk in the presence of fools. Stay away from scorners. Get away from the crowd that mocks that which is right and exalts that which is wrong. And we need to make sure we're surrounding our young people with wise men. Parents, the best thing you can do, and I appreciate the men of this church that have taken my kids and taken Christopher and instructed him. I appreciate the times I've been with Van and Brother Hank Smith and Brother Steve Mohan. These men, when we're with Christopher, Brother Sutton, who instruct my son. I highly value that. I appreciate the fact that if you're with him 30 minutes, you're going to give him 30 minutes of instruction. That's helping me get him further down the road. That's what you need to do for your children. I don't want my son to spend 24 hours a day with 12-year-olds and 15-year-olds and 17-year-olds and Xbox in his hand, a bike under his back end. I want him to be with wise men receiving wise instruction that will help him the rest of his life. Because the companions of fools will be what? So why aren't we in a hurry to get our young people in the presence of wise men? Number six, what's the sixth step? Guard your lips. You know how you grow in wisdom? You just close your mouth. You don't become wise by talking. You know what? Some of our young people, they can't stop talking. Have you ever been with some of these more aged people? I'll just use that term. Have you ever seen Mrs. Ronson and she's with 20-year-olds? Who does the talking? Isn't it funny that Miss Ronson has all these years of experience and all this wisdom to share, but this 20-year-old is going to share all of their knowledge and wisdom? The best thing you could do is simply guard your lips. Chapter 10, verse 19. Proverbs 10, 19. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. Look what it says. He that refraineth his lips is wise. Young people, did you get that? He that refraineth his lips is wise. Chapter 15, verse 2. Proverbs 15, 2. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. Look what it says in verse 7. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. Look what it says in chapter 17. Proverbs 17, verse 27. He that hath knowledge spareth his words. Let me repeat that. What's a wise man do? He talks less. He that hath knowledge spareth his words. A man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool. Young people, listen. Here's the way to look wise, because you were born foolish. You were born a fool. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. You're better off closing your mouth and being thought a fool than opening your mouth and removing all doubt. Just be quiet listen, incline your ear. Step number 7, and we're done. Go back to Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6. Proverbs 2, 6. Look what it says. Who gives wisdom? For the Lord giveth wisdom. Go with me to James and we'll be done. James chapter 1, verse 5. You know what you should do every day? You need to pray daily for wisdom. How many of you already do that? You pray every day, God, please give me wisdom. Every person in this building should be praying daily for wisdom. If you're a father, if you're a wife, if you're a husband, if you're a leader, if you're in charge of a ministry, you need wisdom dealing with life. You need to be skilled in living. So you need to be praying daily. God, give me wisdom as a husband. Give me wisdom in the rearing of my children. Give me wisdom with my boss. Give me wisdom in my finances. Look what it says in James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to who? All men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Each one of us should be on our knees every day saying, God, in order to do what I'm supposed to do in the right way, give me wisdom. Young ladies, those of you that have not married, you know, you need to be praying every day. God, give me wisdom so I pick the right mate. How many are rearing teenagers? You know what you should be doing? Praying every day. God, give me an extra dose of wisdom. How many of you have an infant in your house? You know what you should be praying? God, give me wisdom. How many of you figured out this thing of marriage? That's what I thought. So what should we be praying? God, give me wisdom. How many of you work in a ministry? What should we be doing? Praying, God, give me wisdom. How many of you love souls and would like to be a soul winner? How are you going to do that? You need wisdom. So we should be taking the steps. It's a process. But we should make step number 7 a priority. God, I want to be wise. Now, here's what we all ought to be doing. God, we want to be growing every day. In order to grow in wisdom, we've got to be on our knees saying, God, make us wise.
We certainly hope that you've enjoyed this message today, but more importantly, we hope that the Lord has challenged you in some way to grow in your Christian life. For more information about our church, including directions and times of services, please visit our website at www.capitalcitybaptist.org.